Thank you, Pastor Steve. It's great to see you today and to be here. We're excited about the opportunity to say thank you for your support and to give you a report of what God has been doing with your investment. As Pastor Steve said, my wife, Dr. Delia, has been the area director for Free Methodist World Missions in Latin America for the last 11 years. And for the last 6 years or so, I have served alongside of her as associate director, particularly focusing on our area-wide priorities of church planting and leadership development. And for all of that time, I think, for 11 years, your church has been one of our sponsoring churches, and we are so grateful for your giving to our support that has made our mission, our ministry possible in Latin America. And as stakeholders, we really wanted to report in and share what God has been doing with your significant long-term investment. Across Latin America, national leaders and North American missionaries are working together like never before. And we're really all focused together on a goal to fuel and sustain a biblical movement to reach Latin America for Christ. And we do that by developing leaders and planting churches. In the last 5 years in particular, after laying a lot of groundwork, we have been focusing on introducing a biblical model of community church planting, a simple grassroots approach to multiplying disciples and churches. And most of the Free Methodist pastors and lay leaders in about 15 countries have received some training and orientation on community church planting, or CCP, as we call it. And we've taken all of the community church planting materials and synthesized them, simplified them, and contextualized them to Latin America, and of course translated them all into Spanish. And now all of that material is available on both print and in a digital format on a new website. And last July, we held kind of the culmination of all of the training that's been going on. We held a week-long event, a seminar, to train the trainers and the coordinators and coaches for this church planting ministry. As a result of all of this pretty significant effort that has gone on, I am glad to tell you that just as of a week ago, I got the report of October numbers. And in just a little over 2 years, we have planted 380 new house churches in Latin America. Now that's worth celebrating. And that's particularly significant when you realize that there were probably only about 250 churches in those countries to start with. So we have more than doubled in 2.5 years or so. And we're only counting the house churches that are still functioning. That's not how many we've started. It's how many have started and continue to function. And when we hear house churches, we sometimes think of maybe 10 or 12 people meeting in a living room, which is often the case. But it's not just that. There are many places where the average size of these house churches is 25 or 30 or 50, and there are some places where it's significantly more than that. So this is really amazing also because we're already seeing next-generation church plants. That is, new churches that have already given birth to a daughter or even granddaughter church. Now, in order to start these new churches and also to be ready to train the new leaders that would be coming up, we needed to have a whole pastoral formation plan. We needed to really have a way to give basic training to people who were ready to start a new church or people who were emerging from these new churches. And so in 2018, we completed the development of really a decades-long goal of having a simple, clear plan for people to be prepared for ministry and reach ordination. And it's completely integrated with the church planting model. It fulfills all of the requirements for Free Methodist ordination. And so we're really excited about it. We now have 19 modules that have been prepared, each with their own manual and collateral materials as well. And each of these are available both in print version and in a digital version on our website. And all of this enables pastors to train other pastors. So it doesn't depend on some outside expert to come in and teach a course, but rather really any pastor or any leader can facilitate a new group that's using these materials. So we also held a week-long summit last year for the district leaders and conference superintendents so that they would all understand this plan and be ready to implement and launch this system. And as a result of that, this is really in less than 2 years that since we've been developing this material, we now have, at last count, as of just a few days ago, 1,041 women and men across 15 countries that are involved in this pastoral formation process. This is extraordinary. It gives a great deal of hope for the future because what we're really seeing is the beginnings of this movement that we've been praying for and working for a long time. And this is the convergence of years of ministry for Delia and me, but we can't take credit for this because God has brought together an amazing team of people from a number of different countries, and all the indications are that this plan of multiplying churches and leaders has traction, and it's picking up speed, and we really are seeing families and whole communities that are being changed by the power of the gospel. So as you can tell, we're pretty excited about this, but having put this system in place to develop and multiply disciples, groups, and leaders, Delia and I felt that it was time to step back, that it was time to practice what we have done all our lives, is to raise up the next generation of leaders and to let them lead, while we can still support and coach and advise from the sidelines. So Delia stepped down from her role as area director at the end of March, and Dr. Ricardo Gomez was appointed as the new area director for Latin America. He is originally from Colombia. He has a doctorate from Asbury Seminary. He has experience as a church planter, as a seminary professor, as a leader. He is a godly man, and he is the right person to lead in this next season. We have worked together closely for at least 10 years, and he is committed to carrying forward this vision, of course, with freedom to change and improve it and take it beyond what we could even envision. As Delia likes to say, she was already shopping around for the rocking chair, and we were looking forward to transition and retirement, and we have moved back to Seattle, our home base in Seattle, Washington. But Dr. Ricardo has asked us to stay on the leadership team, to stay engaged, to continue to help fuel and sustain this movement. So we're actually asking you to support us for just one more year, as we launch a new initiative called Impact Latin America. And this will be a partner organization, an auxiliary agency, to come alongside of the work that we've been doing in Latin America to raise new sources of funds from new sources to expand the multiplication, particularly to help resource the national leaders that are the trainers and the coaches for this movement. So by being involved in supporting us through all these years, you have helped make this movement happen. You are participants in this. And so you are changing the future for families and communities all over Latin America. And the fruit of these seeds will continue really for generations to come. So thank you for your support. May your kind be multiplied. Que Dios les bendiga. May God bless you richly.
Thank you. Yes, we have come to say thank you. Thank you for your long-term support, not just financially, but in prayer, and not just in Latin America, but even before that, there were members of this church, people from this church, that have loved us and support us in New York, in Brooklyn, and in other parts of the world. So thank you. As Paul said, may your kind be multiplied. Lord Jesus, we've already asked you to give us words. We've already asked you to show up. We already ask you all of that and ask you for it again. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Soon after I was named Area Director for Latin America, 11 years ago, almost 12 years ago, I started to read continuously through the book of Acts. As in, every morning for 11 years, I started my day reading the book of Acts. And as a result of that, I have talked a lot about the book of Acts. I have preached a lot. I have taught a lot from the book of Acts. And early on in my tenure as area director, I realized that we needed to have a focused mission and vision for what God wanted us to do all together. And I met with missionaries, I met with national leaders in all these different countries, and we studied the book of Acts, and we prayed, and we thought, and we processed, and we dreamed, and we asked God to give us wisdom beyond us. And that seeking of God resulted in a very clear objective. What is it that we do in Latin America? And God gave us this goal that Paul has already referenced. Our goal in the Free Methodist Church in Latin America is to fuel and sustain a biblical movement like in the book of Acts. And not only there was unanimity around that, but there has been a lot of harmony around that vision. And that happens when there is a vision from God, and we all agree that it's a vision from God, there is harmony, and that's what has happened with us. And we have been moving together in beautiful harmony. Missionaries, mission district leaders, superintendents, pastors, the entire team in 11 countries in Latin America can tell you, all of the pastors, every person in every church can tell you what our goal is. And people have been called specifically to flesh it out. And as Paul said, what we do is we develop leaders, we make disciples, and we plant churches. And that's our focus. That's the way God has called us to be this movement. And we have chosen, we have such clarity from God that these are the three things we do, that we have stopped doing other things that were important to focus on making disciples, developing leaders, and planting churches. So, you know, just about every sermon I have preached, I have called us to the church in Latin America. Folks, let's be a movement like in the book of Acts. Let's give it all for the cause of Christ to that end. And, you know, people have been giving it all for the cause of Christ in ways that is very moving to me, because there is such sacrificialness going on. That's not a word, is it? That is just marvelous to see. There is so much that we could talk about from the book of Acts, but today I want to focus on three themes that I see in Latin America over and over again. The story of the church, as told in the book of Acts, is that the church spread, the church multiplied, and the church reproduced leaders, leaders that reproduced other leaders. And all of these are characteristics of a biblical movement, and all of these are characteristics that Paul and I see in Latin America in different measure in different countries. I suspect that every missionary that has ever come through this church has referenced Acts 1:8. Before being taken up into heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and in all of Judea, Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world." You will be my witnesses, Jesus said, in concentric circles. This was not a multiple choice question. You know, you choose one and you do that. No, this was going on and on. And these 11 folks that were listening to Jesus say this, were not the 11 I would have chosen. And they were actually people from the north part of Israel. They had accents. Not only they had accents, they had regional accents. They had the kind of accents of people that had not had the privilege of education. These men to be witnesses, where they were at the time, in Jerusalem, where people were so much more sophisticated, in the region of Judea, to the Samaritans, these people to the ends of the earth, it probably required more faith than they had. But the Holy Spirit did come upon them. And what Jesus said would happen, happened because the Holy Spirit came upon them. There is a story that I want to tell you. As I am approaching retirement, I want you to know that this is a story about you that I have told all over the United States and Latin America. And it's a story that still today gives me the chills. Some 30 years ago, in this sanctuary probably, I imagine the sanctuary is 30 years old, in this very room, I was going to say from this pulpit, but I bet they had an older pulpit and not a music stand like what I need to preach. There was a sermon preached, and it was preached by Pastor Keith Holton, who was the pastor of missions here. And in this Sunday, he encouraged this church to reach out to someone in their own circles and plant a seed of Jesus. Now, I don't know her name, and one of my goals before I die is to find out who was this woman, and I want to say thank you to her because of what she unleashed. But in this sanctuary, there was a woman whose name I don't know, and she prayed that God will use her to plant a seed in the name of Jesus. Well, a few days after, she noticed that across the street from her, right here in Ypsilanti, there was a woman who was waving at a guy that left just about the same time of the day, several times a week. And the Ipsy woman, as I have been calling her for years because I don't have a name for her, the Ipsy woman went across the street to this person and invited her to come to her house for a cup of tea. Now, the woman didn't speak English, and the Ipsy woman didn't speak Spanish. But somehow they managed to understand the story that the lady across the street was married to a man who was studying at grad school at the university. And the Ipsy woman from this church told her about Jesus. And somehow this other woman understood enough to open herself to Jesus. And then that woman led her husband to recommit himself to Christ. Apparently, he had known Jesus before and had not been following him. When he finished grad school, they went back to their country of Venezuela, and they started the Free Methodist Church there. Besides their family, they gathered just a few people. And things were not easy for a while, and then they got really bad for a while there. And some things that were not godly happened. But you know, the seed of Jesus, the seed of the Word of God had been planted, and seeds bear fruit. That's what seeds do. And in spite of some difficult times, the seed of the gospel that was planted in Venezuela because of the Ipsy lady has borne fruit beyond our understanding. What Paul reported here would not have happened without that lady sharing her faith here in Ipsy, I don't know how many years ago, 30 years ago. So in Venezuela, people took out their Bibles and started reading, and they followed the book of Acts, and the book of Acts said they had to meet together, they had to share what they had, they sold things to properties to help each other out, and not surprisingly, they enjoyed the favor of the people in that town of Maturin. And eventually, that small church started to grow. And they were trained to go out to their neighbors and offer them a cup of tea so that they could tell them about Jesus. Nobody drinks tea in Venezuela. Except these Christians that were influenced by the Ipsy lady. And they were trained to keep it very simple, to tell their neighbors, this is the way my life was. Then I met Jesus, and this is what's happening with me now. And that was said because of the simplicity of how it all started. And from this tenuous beginning of a few people has grown what is now the largest Spanish-speaking Free Methodist Church in our area. And it is the healthiest place. Every time I go there, I literally risk my life. I have to have bodyguards when I'm there. But every time I go there, I rejoice because there is so much health in this church. And it continues to multiply. It has mothered many churches. It has started a couple hundred house churches. And that's where the house churches are big, because in Venezuela, a house church is any church that is not in a church building.
And they have grounds. They put chairs outside in the park. And as many people as come, they call it a house church because it's not in a church building. And I've been in house churches in Venezuela with 180 people. From my first visit to Venezuela 11 years ago, I realized this is the kind of thing that I want to see all over Latin America. And I started to pray that God will help us bring all the leaders from Latin America so that they could see this healthy thing going on in Venezuela, a healthy model of the Book of Acts church. And I'm a leader. I assumed that I would have to come to you people and ask them for money so that we could take everybody to Venezuela and show them this. But that was not God's will. What God has done is taken something awful that is happening in Venezuela to bring honor and glory to his name. If you follow international news, you know that Venezuela is in deep, deep trouble. There is a dictatorship there, and things are very difficult. Actually, it is just 2 hours away from Miami, and there are large segments of the population that don't have access to food, to basic antibiotics, to basic nutrition. There is lack of drinkable water. There is electricity that gets cut out most of the days. There are deaths caused by lack of basic things, a serious humanitarian crisis. I'm not reading this in the papers, folks. I have seen it. I have been there. I've seen the deterioration from year to year, the hunger, the despair, the fear. I have seen the humanitarian crisis, but I also have seen a movement like in the Book of Acts that is happening in this country, and it has continued to grow. But the need is such, and the crisis is such, that there have been over 4 million Venezuelans that have left their country in the last 5 years. But they are leaving, and the church here continues to grow. Every time I talk with the leaders there, they say, we've planted 3 more churches, we baptized I don't know how many people, and the church continues to grow. The people who have walked out, they are people who have walked out of Venezuela to the neighboring Colombia country, where I believe you are involved with Adios, Roller, and Nikki. Some of them have walked on to Ecuador. Some have taken the bus, some have flown, but many of them have walked. And among the people who have walked are people who have come to faith in Jesus because of the Ipsy Lady and because of what happened in that town of Maturin and because the Holy Spirit has come and has multiplied this. It is electrifying to watch. And as people have walked, some of them stayed in Colombia and Fat Roller met them, but some of them went on to Ecuador. Now, I have to tell you that Ecuador was in trouble, the church. And we had in Ecuador a missionary, Eunice Alvarez. Some of you know her, from Mexico, had gone to Ecuador, and she was leading the work there. And she had said to me, Dr. Delia, pray that we will get worship leaders, because I can preach, but I can't lead worship, and I can do some things, but I can't lead. This church here, these people need to learn how to worship. So guess what happened? There were some well-trained worship leaders from Venezuela that showed up in Ecuador because they left what was going on in their country. And they started to lead worship there and train the next generation of worship leaders. And they have electrified the church in Ecuador. I'm not making this up, folks. This is like unbelievable, like in the Book of Acts, that is happening. And they have injected, these worship leaders have injected new life in the veins of the Free Methodist Church there in Ecuador. A few months ago, Paul and I were there, and we didn't fit in any of the churches that existed. So they put out a tent in a lawn. And the people who came to worship were in the tent. And they put the pulpit outside, and it started to rain. And I want you all to know that I forgive Paul. He was seated in the tent in the rain. And I was in the rain outside, not in the tent, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I forgive you, Paul. It's all right. But he couldn't see what I could see. So as I stepped out of the tent preaching, I could see that there was a house, and on the roof of that house, there were about 15 young adult men. And I could see that they were interested. These 3-hour services, folks, in Latin America. You complain? 3-hour services. And they stayed there for the entire time. And they heard the preaching of the Word of God. And they heard my invitation, would you like to give your life to Jesus? And they came down from the roof and walked around the block so that they could come and stand with me as they gave their lives to Jesus, several of them. Some folks didn't stay in Ecuador. They took a bus and they went to Peru. That's a long trip. If you pull out your phones now and you look at the map, you can see the distances are huge and there are mountains, high mountains, taller mountains than the Rockies in the United States. Now, we have been praying for the city of Lima for years. And the people in Lima said, we cannot plant churches in this city. It is too hard. But the Venezuelans show up. And, you know, you can't tell a Venezuela that something is too hard, right? They walked from here to Colombia, to Ecuador, and now they take a bus. Or in the case of one couple, we flew them because we wanted them to be missionaries from Venezuela to Peru. Like in the New Testament. Well, as of last week, they had reached so many Peruvians with the gospel of Jesus that there were 6 new churches in the last 18 months. All reproducing the health of the church in Venezuela that was studied because someone from this church went across the street to her neighbor and offered her Jesus. You shall be my witnesses, says the Bible, in Ypsilanti. To your neighbor across the street, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Talk about an ongoing example of how God takes the bad and does something marvelous that can only be attributed to his greatness, to who he is. There is a contagious wind of the Holy Spirit that is happening through our churches in Latin America. And it is of God. It is a wind of the move. The breath of God is in all of these things. But what you do to support people like Thad and Nikki and us, it provides the infrastructure so that this breath can continue blowing throughout Latin America. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and it could be misinterpreted. Please don't misinterpret me. But there are people in countries that are far away, even from Peru, that have given me a call and have said, might there be a Venezuelan who has been trained in community church planting, who has seen that it works, who would come to us in Uruguay as a refugee so that we can deploy them here for the cause of Christ? Like, can you spare a refugee? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And here we are. You couldn't get much farther away from Venezuela to Peru, to Uruguay. It is the ends of the earth, even for Venezuela. I don't know who the original Ipsy lady was. I do know that her obedience, her faithfulness in seemingly something so tiny unleashed a spreading of the seed of the gospel that is making history in the continent where we have been working. It wasn't planned by us. It was planned by God, following the obedience of someone here. A healthy New Testament church spreads. A healthy New Testament church is contagious. It multiplies. It multiplies disciples. It multiplies churches. Actually, there is a verse in Acts 9:31 that I want to read for you. It says, right after the conversion of the Apostle Paul, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. There are some translations that say that this verse should be translated from the Greek as, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, the number of churches increased. Throughout the book of Acts, there are many references to the Lord increasing the number of disciples, multiplying the number of churches. And what this means to me is that when the church is at peace, when the church is living in the fear of the Lord, it is being strengthened and it will multiply. It will increase in the number of churches. In our area, it used to be that a church would be planted every 10 years. But Paul has already reported to you that in the last 2 years, we have doubled the number of, more than doubled the number of churches in the continent. And this is gathering speed. A healthy church spreads. A healthy church multiplies. A healthy church reproduces leaders. We in Latin America are very aware of the need to reproduce leaders. God has called us to that. Paul and I have a holy obsession with this thing of developing the next generation. And I don't just mean the generation following us, but I mean the generation following the generation that follows us. We are very focused on that. We were in Colombia, and one of our pastors said, almost in passing, he said, "We don't call people. God calls people, and our responsibility is to develop them." And you know, I know that, of course. But since then, I have been intentionally asking people, is God calling you? And if God is calling you, let's talk about what that means. And God is calling people, just like in the book of Acts. People all over the continent who are saying, "I want to do this vocationally. I want to do this with my life." So about Colombia, 7 years ago, we didn't have work in Medellin, Colombia. And today we have a strong mother church of about 200 plus people, six church planting projects, and 35 other groups that could become church plants. We don't own a single building in that city. Actually, Sunday morning, our services are in a movie theater because nobody else wants to rent the movie theater on Sunday mornings. So there we are with all these movies advertised around us, and some of them are not the kind of movies that we want our kids to go see. And in that movie place, we lift up the name of Jesus, and the word of God is proclaimed. So having just heard what this pastor had said, at the end of the service, I ordained a couple, and at the end of the service, I said, "If God is calling you to be a pastor, if God is calling you to vocationally be a pastor, I invite you to explore that possibility with us before you leave." And I said to them, "Silver and gold I have none. But what I have, I will give to you. And if God calls you to be a Free Methodist pastor, we will train you, we will prepare you, and you will be ready before you're ordained. We care enough about the cause of Christ, and we care enough about you that we will prepare you well." And I closed my eyes, and I could hear steps. And I stayed there with my eyes closed, and I could hear more steps. And when I opened my eyes, there were 22 people standing in front of the movie thing, platform. People who were responding to a call of God in their lives. And some of them are the sharpest people that I have ever been around. But this is a sermon, not a report. Paul did the report. I'll do the sermon. And a sermon calls for a response from all of us. This, the word of God, applies to all of us. It applies to you this morning, to every believer. Acts 1:8 is a call to all of us. It wasn't a multiple choice suggestion when Jesus said it, and it is not a multiple choice question today. It is a call from God. It is a summons from the Almighty, who invites us to participate with him in the transformation of the world. It's an invitation from the God we have been singing about in the last hour. Every believer in every church needs to be involved in living out the book of Acts in our day, reaching out to people across the street, reaching out to people who are different from us, reaching out to people who are far away. A healthy Book of Acts church spreads because it is contagious, because we become contagious, and it multiplies and develops leaders. And it spreads from Ypsilanti to Venezuela, to Colombia, to Ecuador, to Peru, to Uruguay, a movement that has reached the ends of the world in Latin America. It's not easy. It is not easy. I can tell you that it's not, but it is a privilege. It is a privilege to have been invited by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to participate with them for the transformation of the world. And so, we know it's tough. But this toughness, this call, comes to us this morning with a marvelous promise from the one who calls us. And surely, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you've given me the opportunity to come back to Ypsilanti as I enter retirement, to tell them, to remind them of their own story, to remind them of what they started, and to remind this wonderful church of how you have taken what they've given and you've multiplied it in what is now an apostolic movement in Latin America. Thank you. Would you do it again, God? Would you raise up the next generation of Ypsilanti ladies and men to take on the mantle and to do what they can, to use the gifts you have given them, to do whatever, to plant seeds of the gospel, knowing that one seed can transform countries, even as it transforms us. Jesus, give us clarity. Give everyone who is hearing this clarity. I pray for the generations coming behind me and the ones coming behind them, that they will catch something and say, this I can do. And I would trust God to take it and do whatever he wants to do with the fruit. And so thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for giving me the privilege of seeing the fruit of their sacrifice. Amen.